great to live in a land that still honors mothers. I don't know where this country is going and if that will always be the case, but it's great that we live in a country that still wants to honor mothers. You know, God honors mothers, and God wants us to honor mothers. You know, Old Testament and New Testament, they both say that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. So God from the very beginning has wanted honor to be given to those who are mothers. In fact, you may want to underline this verse, some of you in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. The last part of that verse says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." I'll let you determine what you think is old. But the Bible says, and I'll say the verse again because I know some of you need to go and underline it now. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." Now that your mother knows where that verse is in the Bible, she might be sending you that in a card sometime just to remind you of that. But God wants us to honor mothers. And obviously, there are times in our lives when we do a better job at that than others. But God wants us to understand that He has a special place in His plan for those that are mothers. And He wants us to understand that there are times when He has specifically used mothers to help raise a generation of servants for His cause. The Bible says that God has placed children into the hands of parents for that very reason, that children might be raised to bring honor and glory, not just to their parents, but to bring honor and glory to God. And so this morning I want us to think about the mother of the year. I don't know who you would think about. I don't know who you would nominate to be the mother of the year. You know, there might be different individuals that you think would be good candidates to be the mother of the year. But I want to talk this morning about mother of the year who was a mother who raised a very, very influential child. She was a mother who, when you begin looking at her, she's not all that well known. But her son is very well known. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we know a person and we see all of their good traits and all of their good qualities, and yet we don't always know where those came from. We might know them better than we know their mother. But here was a mother who had quite an impact on her son. If you were to go back into the Old Testament, and if you were to look at some of the key leaders of the Old Testament, if you were to look at some of those men around which much of the Old Testament story flowed, who would you think of as being one of those great, significant, key leaders? Who would you say was one of those men that if you take him out of the Old Testament, you've taken a huge part out of what we understand of the Bible story? I want to talk to you today about Moses' mother named Jochebed. Moses is one of those leaders that we understand was significant in the plan of God. You go back and you look at this man that did so much for God's cause. And yet, where was he raised? You go back and look at this man who was actually raised in Pharaoh's palace. Here was a young man who was raised in Pharaoh's palace who had the wisdom of the Egyptians at his fingertips. He could have had and understood all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had the wealth of the Pharaohs right there at his disposal. He had power. He had all that one would need in order for somebody to say, "Oh, he's successful." Right there in Pharaoh's palace. And yet he turned his back on all of that. Why would somebody turn their back on that kind of power, on that kind of wealth, on that kind of prestige, on that kind of earthly wisdom? Why would they give that up? Moses gave it up because of the way that he was raised. Moses gave it up because of the mother that he had. Moses became the great emancipator of the Old Testament. He brought God's people out of Egyptian bondage. Couldn't have done that if he hadn't made that change. Moses is the great lawgiver of the Old Testament. You pick up and read the law of the Old Testament, and it is called the law of Moses. Moses is a great inspired writer. He wrote the first five books of your Bible. Here's a man that's mentioned over, by name at least, mentioned over 780 times in your Bible. How did he become such a great man? Where would Moses have been without his mother? If you were to visit Washington, D.C., and some of you have, and if you were to go to the United States Supreme Court building, which some of you have, and if you were to look up right above as you started to walk in that building, if you were to look right above at the top of the columns, right at the top of that building as you were to go in, there's carved in stone the images of a number of great lawgivers throughout history. And their images appear there, one after another, carved in stone above the United States Supreme Court building. And do you know whose image is right there in the middle of all of those lawgivers? Those lawgivers that are on this side, they're slightly turned in this direction towards the center of the building. Those lawgivers who are on this side are slightly turned towards the center of the building. But there's one lawgiver who's pictured and is engraved in stone right there in the middle, and he's holding two tablets of stone. Can you believe that this country would put Moses on the top of the United States Supreme Court building? How did he get there? If it wasn't for a mother who helped to raise him to become the man that he was. I want to talk to you about Jochebed. Could she be the mother? Could she be the mother of the year? Her name means the glory of Jehovah. Think about that in relationship to where she was born in Egyptian bondage and all that she had to live through. What made her so great? You got your Bibles? Have I given you enough time to turn to these passages that are on the screen this morning? We're going to be in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, trying to look at some things about Jochebed. You say, well, I'm not a mother this morning. This lesson doesn't have application to me. You could not be more wrong than making that statement. But if you are a mother this morning, this lesson has direct application to all mothers to say, here are some choices that Jochebed made. Are they choices that you have made as a mother? But they're not just choices that need to be made by a mother. They're choices that need to be made by every single one of us. What makes Jochebed somebody that we could call the mother of the year? Let me talk to you about some of her choices. Number one, she made the choice of purity over promiscuity. What does that mean? Go to Exodus chapter 2. When we learn about this woman, look at the very first thing that we read about this woman. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, there was a man of the house of Levi. We'll learn later in this book that his name is Amram. And he took as a wife the daughter of Levi. We'll learn later in this book her name is Jochebed. If you're looking for some names for your children, looking for some suggested name for your grandchildren, Amram and Jochebed are two names you won't hear very often. But what I want you to see about them is that in verse 1, they get married. In verse 2, they have children. And that is the order in which they did it. They first got married. Jochebed waited until she got married to enjoy the marital pleasures that God had designed for them. Is that something that we need to see emulated today? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the bed of marriage is to be undefiled. God created man, He created woman, He created marriage, He created marital relations, and He put them inside the marriage bond. Jochebed chose purity over promiscuity. And as common as it is to not make that choice today, and as unpopular as it might be to not make that choice today, even today, that's still the right choice. The most recent United States census showed that there is a growing, and it wouldn't surprise you, a growing rate of cohabitation, especially among younger couples, over marriage. Meaning that more and more couples are living together without being married than some couples are living together when they are married. Folks, that's not God's plan. Hebrews 13 verse 4 states God's plan. And that was the plan that Jochebed followed. Something that would make her a great candidate for Mother of the Year. Something that would be good for all of us to emulate. But there's another choice that she made. She not only chose purity over promiscuity, but she chose faith in God over fear of man. Hold your finger in Exodus chapter 2 and go over to the passage that was read in Hebrews chapter 11. And as you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, remember the time frame in which she is living. Remember the time frame in which Amram and Jochebed are living. They are living during a time when God's people are in bitter bondage in the land of Egypt. They had gone down there with Joseph. They had gone down there during a time when they needed the plenty that Joseph had stored up during those days of famine. They needed that. So they went down there, and the 70 members of Jacob's family went down to live in Egypt, and they were put in the land of Goshen, and they were the prized people, even by Pharaoh at that time. But Exodus 1 and verse 8 says, there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And he looked out at this nation that was no longer 70 people. He looked out at this Jewish nation that numbered now over 1 million, perhaps 2 million people in this nation. And he was fearful. And he put this nation under bondage. He made them to be slaves. And we'll learn in Exodus chapter 1 that he was so fearful. He was so fearful of this nation and the growth rate of this nation and the fact that they were becoming mightier than Egypt, although he wouldn't admit that to the Jews. They were becoming mightier than the Jews, and he was fearful of them, that he told the midwives, you kill any Jewish baby boy that is born. You can let the girls live, but if there's a baby boy that is born, you kill him. That's the environment in which Amram and Jochebed are living. And yet, what does Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 say? By faith Moses, this verse isn't about Moses' faith. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months. Not talking about his faith, talking about his parents' faith. By faith Moses was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Oh, we know what the king wants. We know what the king has commanded about those baby boys who are born, and yet that's not the path we're going to follow. They put their faith in God instead of putting their fear in man. Would to God that parents today would do that same thing. That's exactly what our homes need today. Our children today need moms. They need dads. They need moms and dads who will surround them, who will shelter them, who will protect them by faith in God. How many of our homes are inundated with the immorality that is all around us? How many of our homes do we allow the vulgarities of the world inside the confines of our home? How many homes do we allow all that this world has to offer to come in and to entertain us instead of having homes that are characterized by goodness and godliness and faith in Jesus Christ? You want to give your children the most precious gift you can give them? It's letting them see you live out your faith in front of them. The most precious gift you can give your children is not something you can purchase on Amazon, but it's something they can see in your life, genuinely see in your life every day. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 tells us about the faith of Amram and Jochebed, who put their faith in God and were not going to be swayed or moved by what the world wanted them to do. We're going to come back and talk about her faith more in just a minute. But that's a choice we all need to make. No doubt she could be Mother of the Year. No doubt her influence was heavy upon Moses because of this choice that she made. But come back to Exodus chapter 2. What else could make Jochebed the Mother of the Year? How about this third choice? She chose life over the easy way out. Go back to Exodus chapter 2 and see what happens. When she conceived, what does verse 2 say? Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. She conceived and bore a what? A son. What does Exodus chapter 1 say to do with a son who is born? What were the midwives told to do? To kill any son that is born. So she conceived and bore a son. And she saw that he was a beautiful child. She hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Jochebed knew full well the conditions of the world in which she was living. She knew full well the edict of the king. She knew what the king said, kill any baby boy that is born. She's pregnant for 9 months. Didn't have ultrasound back then. Couldn't take that 4D picture now and say, well, what do we have inside here? For 9 months, do you suppose she's wondering, is this a boy or is this a girl? For 9 months, you suppose she's wondering, what's going to happen when this baby's, if this is a girl, that's going to, but if it's a boy, suppose that's going through her mind for 9 months. Or do you suppose it was going through her mind for 9 months? You see, Jochebed had already made her decision. Jochebed had already made her decision that it did not matter whether it was a boy or a girl. Although it would have been awfully easy to just make a decision and say, let me just remove any trouble for anybody here, and let me just decide that I'm just going to kill this baby, and that way there's no problems for anybody. Does that happen today? Sometimes the easy way out, the way that's taken. When we see a child that's, well, this isn't really convenient for me right now. This really isn't a good time for me right now. I really can't afford a baby right now. And whatever other reasons are offered, but those are the top three, whatever other reasons are offered to abort babies today, suppose Jochebed had had those same thoughts, but she didn't. She chose life. She chose life even before Moses was born. She chose life. And she tries to hide him for 3 months, and bless her heart that she was able to do that for 3 months. She chose life. Even willing to give her child up for adoption in order that the child might live. Death was not an option for her. Proverbs chapter 6 says there's 6 things the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination to Him. And there's one of them mentioned in verse 17 that says one of those things is hands that shed innocent blood. There's no blood more innocent than that little child that has not even seen the light of day. She chose life. And she chose his life over her own life. It's not just that she chose life. She chose to have life for her child, even if it meant her own life would be taken, and it could have been. If she had kept that child, not only could the child have been put to death, not only would the child have been put to death, she could have been put to death for harboring a male child and not having that child put to death. I know one of the justifications that's offered today for abortion. I know one of the justifications offered is, well, what about if the mother's life is in jeopardy? This mother chose life, even over her own life. And if it makes you feel better to use that as a justification for abortion, guess how very, 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 very few pregnancies that even applies to, where the mother's life is in jeopardy. And yet that's used to soothe our conscience somehow. This mother was eager to be a mother. Somebody says, well, yeah, everybody's that way with their first kid, but, you know, after you've had a couple, you know, it's not that big of a deal. This was her third child. She already had a girl, Miriam. She already had a boy, Aaron. What do you need a third one for? We don't need this child. He's going to complicate things. She chose life over the easy way out. Mother of the year. Would to God that mothers today would make that same choice, to choose life over the easy way out. You come and look at this mother. She made a number of choices that exemplify things that we need to do. She chose God's child over her own child. What do I mean by that? As you go through this chapter in Exodus chapter 2, over and over it says the child. Verse 3 says she put the child in the ark. When you get down to verse 6, it says that Pharaoh's daughter opened the ark and she saw the child. Verse 7 says that his sister, Moses' sister, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you, that from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." And so she went. And verse 9 says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away.'" And so the end of verse 9 says, the woman took the child. Whose child is this? In Jochebed's eyes, whose child is this? Is it her child? Is it Pharaoh's daughter's child? No. In her eyes, this is God's child. And that flavored everything about her decisions. Not my child, not her child. This is God's child. Isn't that what Psalm 127 says? Psalm 127 verse 3 says that children are a heritage from the Lord. That means they belong to Him. They're a gift from the Lord. They belong to Him. And as arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, verse 4 says, so are children in that hand of the mother or that father. Trying to get them back to their Father in heaven. She looks down and she sees this child, and it's not just her child. It's not just Pharaoh's daughter's child. She says, this is God's child. And in her mind, perhaps, she thought, you know, I'm going to give an account to God for what I do with this child. Is that true of every parent? That every parent has been given a heritage from God, a child from God, and that we are going to give an account to God for what we do with this child. Think about Jochebed. From the moment she got pregnant, she realized, what am I going to do with this child for God? Not what am I going to do with this child for me? Not what am I going to do with this child for somebody else? What am I going to do with this child for God? She recognized that God, no doubt, had a plan for the child that would be born to her. The same way that God has a plan for every child that is born today. And she saw that God had committed that child to her. What a responsibility. What a responsibility. To say, oh, this isn't just my child, this is God's child. What am I going to do with God's child? I am going to do what Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says. I am going to train him up in the way that he should go. Which way is that? I'm going to train him up to be the best soccer player that there is. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to train her up to become a great physician, a great doctor, so she can take care of me for the rest of my life. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to train him up. I'm going to train her up to be this, to be that. Nothing wrong with any of these attainments, perhaps. But her eyes were on a greater attainment. Her eyes were on train him up in the way that God's child should go. What way should God's child go? How often should God's child be in Bible class? How often should God's child be in worship? How often should God's child hear Bible stories in our homes? How often should God's child see his mom and his dad praying? How often should God's child see the church brought into the home and see members of the church fellowshipping in their home? How often should God's child be taken to visit the widows and the shut-ins? How often should God's child be trained up in the way that God's child should go? Jochebed made choices, not based upon what she thought would be good for her kid, but what she thought would be good for God's kid. Mother of the year. Something for all of us to attain to. When she looked at this child, I'm going to come back and talk about faith again. When she looked at this child, she made a choice. And she chose training for God over fitting in. Would you look at verses 9, especially verse 9, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 9. The question is asked, the sister asked in verse 7. Miriam asked, "Shall I go and find a Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter in verse 8 says, "Go." Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed in verse 9, "Take this child away and nurse him for me." So the woman took the child in verse 9 and nursed him. What did she do? Well, she took the child, no doubt, and nursed him physically, but she did a whole lot more than that. She did not just take the child and nurse him physically. She took the child and nursed him spiritually. She took this child. Think about what Hannah did. She committed her child to the Lord and eventually took her son Samuel to Eli. But before that, she raised her child the same way that Jochebed raised her child. Don't read "nursed him" and just simply think that she fed him every day. She did that, but she was one who taught him about God. She was one that trained him in the way that God would want him to go. She was the one who prepared him to serve God. And look at what verse 10 says. Verse 10 says, "And the child did what? The child grew." Of course the child grew. But don't just think about that physically. Of course the child grew physically, but he's growing spiritually. This child is growing because she's feeding him food. He's growing closer to God because she's feeding his faith. While she has those formative years, before she takes him back to Pharaoh's daughter, while she has him for those formative years, she is training him, teaching him about God. No doubt she is telling him what he would later write in Exodus 23 and verse 2, not to follow a crowd to do evil. Why is it that Moses made the choices that Moses made? Look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a second. Why is it that Moses made the choices that Moses made? Look in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. "By faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Moses, why would you do that? Verse 25. "By faith Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Moses, what are you doing? Why would you make that choice? Verse 26. By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, you're raised in Pharaoh's house. You are taught, Acts 7, Stephen says in Acts 7, he was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses, why are you making the choices that you are making? The key to understanding why he made the choices he did in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27 is looking at what verse 23 said, is to see that he is emulating the choice that his mom and his dad made. He heard about God from his mom. He heard about God's will from his mom. He heard about God's people from his mom. He saw it lived out in her life, not just words from her mouth, but conduct in her daily life. He saw that in those formative years of his life. And here he is, 40 years of age and 80 years of age, making choices based upon what he saw in those early years of his life. Why? Because he had a mom who was not afraid to train him in the ways of the Lord and not train him to fit in. That would have been the easy thing to do. Son, we're not like these people, but here's what we need to do to fit in. No, that's not what she taught him. She taught him that he was a child of God. He wouldn't have learned that from Pharaoh's daughter. He wouldn't have learned that in Pharaoh's house. When you read Exodus chapter 2, and the Bible says that he came out and he saw his people, the Jews, how did he know they were his people? Formative years. His mom trained him. Mother of the year. Would to God we had mothers today training their children in the path of God, building them up and nurturing them in the faith of God, nursing them physically, but nursing their faith spiritually so that when they become of age, they can make those choices, whether they will serve God or whether they will enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Thank God for the example of Jochebed. The last choice that I want us to see this morning that she made is that she chose the eternal reward over the earthly reward. Verse 9 is interesting. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 9 is interesting. Pharaoh's daughter, the whole story is amazing. How Miriam is there. Miriam was probably only about 10 years of age when she goes and says to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and find a Hebrew woman who can nurse this child, all the while knowing who she's going to go and talk to? Go and get a Hebrew woman. And she goes, and isn't it providence of God that she goes and gets Moses' mother to come and to take care of Moses in those formative years? And so Miriam brings her mom to Pharaoh's daughter. And in verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter says, take this child away and nurse him for me, and here's what I'll do. I will give you your wages. Really? You're going to pay me to be his mom? You're going to pay me to feed my child? You're going to pay me to raise my own son? What a joy that'll be. And mothers here today are like, hello, what about me? Where are my wages? Do you suppose in verse 10, when Jochebed brought Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter to live in her home, do you suppose that Jochebed came with her hand out saying, well, I'm here. Where's my money? She wasn't concerned about the earthly reward. She was more concerned about the heavenly reward. We don't take time. We don't have time to develop these thoughts, but she had the reward and the privilege of loving her son. She learned the reward and the privilege of giving to her son. She was willing to give all that she had for him. It was worth it to her. It's a New Testament verse, but she knew it in the Old Testament. It's more blessed to give than to receive. She was not all that interested in what Pharaoh's daughter was going to give to her. She was more interested in what she could give to her son by giving her son to God. And when she did that, she learned the joy and she had the reward of seeing her child serving God. The Bible does not tell us how old Jochebed was when she died. No idea to know what all Jochebed saw in Moses as he grew and as he lived inside of Pharaoh's palace. But no doubt what she was able to see would echo what John says in 3 John in verse 4, where John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It doesn't matter if somebody were to come along and pay you some financial reward for raising your children. That wouldn't matter if you couldn't say, I have no greater reward. I have no greater joy than to see my children loving God, to see my children serving God, to see my children walking in the truth. Here's a mother that, when I put Mother of the Year on the screen at the beginning of the lesson, I don't know who you thought of. Maybe you pointed at your wife and said, you're the Mother of the Year. When you learned it was a Bible character, I don't know who you thought of. And I doubt Jochebed would have come to many of our minds, because who knows who Jochebed is. But here's a woman who made a number of choices that, number one, today mothers would do well to make. And number two today, that all of us would do well to make. Thank God for mothers who choose purity over promiscuity, who choose faith in God over fear of man, who choose life over the easy way out, who choose to raise God's child, not just my child, who choose to train for God instead of just wanting our children to fit in the world, and who look to the eternal reward more than the earthly reward. To those of you who are mothers here today, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in raising your children. One of the most thankless, perhaps the most thankless job on this earth, is to be a mother. And yet, God has placed within your care His children to take care of and to raise. This morning, are you a child of God? Can you call God your Father this morning? As you look at your life today, would you say that you are following in the ways of God? Or are you following in the ways of the world? Have you been more interested in doing what the Bible says or doing what the world might have us to believe? This very day, you can become a child of the Most High God and give your life to Him. Have every one of your sins removed to enter into a relationship with Christ where you have the promise of heaven. Moses looked to the reward because that was given to him. Do you look to the reward today? Bible says if you want to become a Christian, if you want to become a child of God, the Bible makes it very plain what we've got to do. It says we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to have a faith in our heart that is solid, that says Jesus died for me on the cross, He was buried, and He was raised the third day. Not some myth that Christians came up with, but a truth that God established 2,000 years ago. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe it, God says that faith will lead you to say, I don't want to serve me anymore. I want to serve God. I want to give my life to Him. And you can make up your mind today to repent from your sin, to say, I want to stop living in sin. I want to turn my life over to God. Have you ever made that decision? You can make that decision today. And with that determination in your heart, you can do exactly what they did in the New Testament. Not what some church came up with, but to do what they did in the New Testament to become a child of God, to confess the faith that's in your heart, and to be baptized, immersed in water, immersed into Christ. So that at that very moment, the Bible says you can have the forgiveness of your sins by being obedient to Him. God will add you to His church, and He'll write your name in heaven. And then He calls upon us as His children to serve Him faithfully. Moses was raised to be a child of God. Did he make mistakes? Sure did. Will we make mistakes? Sure will. But God says, if we get back up and say, God, I'm trying to do my best, trying to live with a faithful life, help me to serve You. That's what He calls upon us as His children to do. Are you a Christian today, a New Testament Christian? Are you a faithful New Testament Christian this day? If you're not, we pray and we plead with you to come right now as together.